least in the second chapter, he'll get in some. We can understand a little bit in the second chapter about what the false teachers are doing or what they're talking about how he helps them in describing the examples that he is, how to combat these. And so in this last part here, we were talking about the mystery of the gospel. And basically the reason it was a mystery is because it was hidden and was not revealed to them in the olden age. But now, as Paul is presenting, he's revealing to them by his preaching and his teaching. And the mystery is Jesus Christ. And Christ has now come in to bring man and God back together. What separated man and God?
Sin.
Everything. And he talked about it, said, you know, your wicked works. And he said, now Christ is the one that has reconciled y'all, and so that you can come back to God. God didn't leave. Man left God. And for you to get back to God, you'll have to go through Jesus Christ. So if you want peace again with Jesus, with God, you have to go through Jesus Christ. So he explained to them how the necessity of Christ, and we'll get into in the second chapter, that some of these people have downgraded Christ, that he's not a deity or he's not like he's supposed to be. But Paul says, yes, he is. He is Jesus Christ, the Lord. He's the Messiah, and he died for you. All right. And that's what the mystery is about. And that's what one of the things that Paul has been revealing. And he's teaching, said, the prophets back there, they would prophesy, but they didn't understand. They would love to understand what you're talking about. But now that mystery is being revealed, because if you want to know God, how can you know God? Jesus. Remember, the apostles were talking about, if you want to know God, have you not seen me? Isn't he the invisible image of the invisible God that we talk about? So if you're wanting to get back to God and see God, Christ is the one. All right, we left off with verse 27. It says, chapter 1, verse 27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among Gentiles, okay, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The point is that it is God's desire, his wish, or his plan. This is God's plan. This is what he talked about from the very beginning before creation. This is what God wanted, to make known to all his people his will regarding the Gentiles. The Gentiles have been alienated from God and from the law because it was written mainly for the Jews. Now the mystery is too that the Christ has brought the whole world, Jews and Gentiles, that's everybody, back to God or into God. And God is making it known through Paul at this very time. Through the revelation of this plan of salvation for all men, a plan that has been hidden for all the prior ages, all the time before, it's been hidden. Paul had come to see the inexhaustible treasure of blessings available for Gentiles as well as Jews. And he wanted them to come and to see how magnificent this plan is in every way. He said, want you to know the riches of the glory. Okay? Now, I know Paul is an inspired writer, but he has his own style and his words. And if you read Paul and see him and things, I think Paul is a very good writer. Sometimes he makes the sentence really long, sometimes to understand. But some of the phraseology, when you hear the word rich or riches, what do you think about? You guys don't think anything about riches? It's something that you like to have. Yeah, riches. I mean, when you hear the word riches, doesn't that perk your ear up? Doesn't that make you want to listen? That's how people are scam out in their money all the time. Because we heard the word rich, make money quickly, strike it rich. And he's talking about, if you want riches, it's in the glory of God. And you can have that. Then he uses the word, the hope of glory. We all like to have hope. And he's telling these Colossians here, he says, in front of them, you're now, the mystery has been revealed to you. You can have salvation. And it's through Jesus Christ. See, you got that hope that you can spend an eternity with God. But you know, he has talked about, when we talked about Sunday, you can lose that. You can turn away from it. You can reject Christ. You can accept Christ and you can turn your back on him again, like you did God. You can go back into sin. But he's trying to get to them now. He's talking about the riches and the hope that's in Jesus Christ is what he's talking about. He's encouraging them as we begin here, as we give it before he starts in the second chapter or second part. Later on in the letter, when he started dealing with these false teachers and these philosophers, which is the Gnostics, so they're going to come in with you some enticing words. They're going to assuage you. But the riches are in Christ. Don't let them tell you you don't need Christ. You have to have him, Charles. Reason that Paul is emphasizing Christ so much and so heavily, because Paul understands what they're going through. He understands what this is not the Paul's first time in this rodeo having to deal with false teachers. He's dealt with them. He knows how. He's writing this letter. He says, you know, you haven't seen me face to face. You don't know who I am. What? That's the reason I put a little description there. Understand what authority I'm writing it to you and the reason why I know about Christ. And let me tell you, you did too. He says, you believed. He's writing to the saints here at Colossae, the church. He's writing to those children of God. But he says, don't be discouraged to them. Keep the faith. Don't be persuaded by them. Don't lose your walk. Stay with Christ, because he's the only way that you can be able to get to God, and that's through Christ. Then he says in verse 28, him, Christ, we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. He's warning them. This is says my warning. This is my admonition. I'm here to instruct you and tell you who is it. To every man, teaching, instruction given to you. Well, why is he trying to warn them and instruct them? Well, he says the reason why is present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, what do we mean when he says the word perfect? Complete? Mature. All right. You are to grow into Christ. When you become a member, you just don't stay there. And he's going to be encouraging this. This is part of the treasury, the riches here. When you see riches, you want it. You will actively seek it to go about it. He's using some of these terms here. When you say the word riches, it means, you know, this is something that you really want to have, you to grasp. Well, you have a hold of it now. But that you got to do more than that. Larry?
Third chapter, verse 1, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Once you got it, don't quit looking.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he's trying to encourage them here. Okay, they have a letter. Paul's wrote them this letter. And they also, what do they have? Well, being a church here in the first century, I'm sure that there probably is some people that have been inspired, that there are some prophets, people that are knowledgeable. They're And they don't have the Bible like we persuade, like you and I have. But they do have God's Word. And he tells you, it says, you obeyed it, now grow in it. Keep on growing. Keep on searching for it in the riches. And he says, my ideal here is, I am preaching to you, or preaching you about Christ, warning you about the false teachers. I'm instructing you in how you should walk and live so that you will be presented to Christ in the time a more for sure, a mature Christian. One that just hadn't sit by the wayside and just sit there. Somebody that is willing to work and do what God wants him to do. Somebody that is actively out there seeking to win others to Christ. Let them also know the joys and the blessings, the riches and the hope that I have, I share with the other people. And that's what what Paul is doing now to them. Well, he encouraged them, you do the same thing. What I'm doing to you. I am encouraging you to try to hold on to it, to grow in it. Well, how about you? What are you doing? Why aren't you ministering? Why don't you be more a servant? Just like I am a servant. He talked about, I am my stewardship. That's a steward, that's a servant there. Well, that's why you're. Why do you think I'm going through all this? Hardships. Because I am in service to Jesus Christ. And I know that there's lost souls out there. John?
How do we do that in this day and age where there's so many different denominations and everyone's so entrenched in their, beliefs and stuff and their, false teachings and what they're supposed to do? Because I'm really interested in this part of bringing people to the church.
Do you know what this is?
That would be the Bible.
All right. What does... No. Yeah, I was going to get to that. What's in the Bible? God's Word. You want wisdom? Right here it is. There is no wisdom higher than God. Man thinks he's smart, but you put him against God, he ain't nothing. So if you want to learn wisdom, you go right here. And this is where once you learn this is what you teach. Not what I think, not my opinion, what God says. If you look around this, you're talking about different denominations. This area is full of Baptists. I just tell you. Yeah, but there's more Baptists in this area than anything. That's the number one religion here in Morgan County, and in fact, I think in the state of Kentucky. You talk to a Baptist, and I guarantee you they know very little about the Bible. Very little. Because mama did this, my pastor told me this, they don't know. What you need to do is let them read it out of the Bible and show it to them. That'll help them more than that. Will you convert them? It's hard. But don't give up. And? She has been so indoctrinated with her family, everybody else, and their past. They just, you know, whatever somebody has told me, that's what I've heard all my life. This is the way it is. Well, that doesn't say convert. Like I tell you, you open your Bible, let them read it and see it. You don't give them much. You just give them a little bit, just a little bit to digest itself. Oh, have fun. Pat? Means all.
So we preach and teach all our comprehensive wisdom that we may present every man. So in other words, this is for everyone in the world, whether they are Christian now or they become Christian or whether they reject Christianity. It is for every man. And he says that they can become perfect in Christ Jesus, so they can become whole or complete in Christ Jesus. So in other words, there is nothing else. There is no other standard. There's nothing else.
Well, the point is, what are you and I and everybody else is going to be judged on? And that's judged on is God's Word.
What is
revealed right here in the Bible we're going to be judged on. Man, that's pure and simple. This is God's Word. This is what He has revealed to us. So why would He judge us on something that He has not told us? But you see, that's what the point of the mystery is. It's no longer a mystery. It's been revealed to you and I. You and I can understand it. So when we stay in the day of judgment, we can't say, well, I didn't know. Yeah, He says, I told you. I told you in my word. Well, the only excuse you got is, says, Lord, I just didn't do it. Then He says, depart from me, because I don't know who you are. You're not my child. This is our standard we're going to be by. And this is what writing to them. The things that we have taught, the things that you have learned, this is what it's going to be. No wide difference. We all going to be judged the same. Yeah. You're right. The children of Israel thought, well, I'm born of Abraham. I'm saved. Well, what did the world think? Well, I believe in Christ. I'm saved. No. Does that what he tell you? Tells you what? To do my commandments. Do what my will is. Do what my law says. You listen to what I tell you. This is what I want you to do. Freddie? Well, that's the reason it said there's one body and one church. And Christ is the head of that. All right. Verse 29.
End of the chapter.
To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. All right. Paul exerts himself to accomplish the aim of bringing those in Christ to completion or maturity. That's what he's striving for. He's aiding them to encourage them to reach maturity. That means you need to grow. It's just like a baby. It doesn't stay a baby. You know, he grows. Middle, teenage, go on up. He said, you got to grow with this. And that's what my ideal is. The thing is to present to you, you need to be mature. And he says, I'm laboring for that. I'm working. He said, I'm working for you, even though you don't know who I am. I am a minister, a steward of God, and that is my function, is to labor for Christ. And says, well, that's the reason, you know, the thing is, I'm writing to this labor. You are part of my labor, even though I have never met you or seen you. Do you ever think about, you know, he says, he talks about praying for somebody you never met. You know, you may have heard about them or something like that. It's kind of hard to pray for somebody that you really never met and never seen. Because you don't know what to lie or think. And it's kind of difficult. If I know Pax and I'll send it, it's easy to pray for that. Not easy, but I know them and everything, the circumstances. But here Paul is writing to them, had never met them or anything. He's heard about them from the preface, and maybe some other people too had told him about the church in Colossae. And he's writing to them what he thinks, what he's heard, that you need to be encouraged in. I know there are some, not so much problem with you, but you're being bombarded by these false teachers. Let me assist you in that, and I'm writing you this letter to you to strive to stay into Christ and to encourage you that and help you understand who Christ is a little bit better. I am trying to bring you to maturity. I'm trying to bring you up, let you grow a little bit. I'm giving you a little bit more food. A little bit more knowledge to use to help you in your walk, in your daily life. That's the reason Paul is writing this letter to him. And Paul says, you know, like in Philippians 4:30, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Paul says, there's nothing that I'm not capable of doing through Christ. And without him, I don't have no strength. There's nothing I can do. Anything else on the first chapter? Got a cursor someplace. There it is.
You know, a lot of people, when you look at the message, a lot of people say they don't want to hear negative something. Well, we want to hear positive something. Well, that's good, but Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, repute, reproof, rebuke, and exhort. A few daring downs.
All right. Second chapter. Verses 1 through 5. He begins with,
for I want you to know
what a great conflict
I have for you and those in Laodicea,
and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh,
that their hearts
may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attain to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you. Rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. All right. The you. All right. He's talking about to the Colossians. This letter's written to you. He's talking to you. I'm telling you. He's speaking directly to them as
the recipients of this letter.
Of his very personal concern for them. you can kind of tell that, at least I think it can, you can tell that there's a care and love for these people even though he hadn't seen them. And to strengthen the bond between himself and them. He is a servant of the whole church, but he has experienced the same conflict for the Colossians as that he does for all of us. So what is this conflict that Paul is talking about?
Well,
he's anxious. Basically, he is. What he's heard from probably in Epaphras about these false teachers, these philosophers, the Gnostics and things, he's concerned. And he has great conflict with them, and that's the reason he's writing this letter for that, to understand, for them to understand a little bit more about Christ. And he says, you know, it, like I said, for him not to see them, it's kind of difficult. I'm just doing it on the hearsay, what I'm finding out, and I'm trying to do the best I can. This is what I really think you, what I understand, this is what I think you need. And it's making a little conflict,
or a little bit, I'm just a little bit
anxious about this, how it's going to come out. But he says, now look, you know, this is not only a letter for you to Colossae, but those in the Laodicea, I think Laodicea is about 8 miles away from Colossae, and also the surrounding area. Of course, you know, from this time, the early churches here, when Colossae got the letter, they would share with all the other churches around about them. And he mentions Laodicea, so I'm pretty sure that Laodicea would get a copy of this letter, and probably some of the other churches around there. If their problem is in Colossae or with the Colossians, you're pretty sure it's in the whole region. And that's what he's talking about. Spread this word to help to encourage all the churches around about, all the saints there around about. I'm sure you're not the only church that's being sought after by these false teachers. I'm pretty sure they're in the whole region. So my concern is not only for you, but I'm writing this letter to you, Colossae, but share this letter. Let them know what the message is. He says in
verse 2,
that their hearts may be encouraged, be knitted together in love. Okay? That's one of the things he's talking about. We were talking about to encourage them, but he's talking about being knitted together in love. He's talking to them. Okay? The word knit here is most likely taken from the term with the joints, or the ligaments and the tendons helped on the joints area to be knitted together, to give it the strength. And he says, this is what this church basically, or what all churches need, what all saints need. You need to be together in love. If you got these trouble of false teachers come in, what's the best way to do it? Fight it. Well,
you know the word.
You know the message. But also, you are knitted together. You're helping each other. You're bonded. I am trying to bond to you by writing to this letter to you to encourage you. Well, those that are there, you're an encouragement for each and every one of them. That love can help. If y'all will stay together, it will help to discourage the false teachers and this philosophy.
Acts. In Philippians chapter 2, he says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. And that unity there that he talks about, being of the same love, is not necessarily to love one another, but to have the same interest, the same love for the gospel, the love for the truth, the love for things that matter for righteousness. And I was noticing here, when he says their hearts may
we'll see right through that. Because if we commended our whole body and our whole soul to the truth of love, and so then we're unified on that.
Their focus on one thing. That's Christ. His letter is emphasized so much of Christ and God, but the emphasis on Christ, because Christ is the one that brings you to God, or the avenue to God. But he said, your focus, your love is upon Christ. That's what binds you together. That's going to help you to fight off the false teachers. And Grant will continue that Sunday. Thank you.